I am taken back to 1982.
Ah,
as
yes.
The most traumatic sports event in my childhood was the 82 World Series, where the Milwaukee Brewers went to St. Louis needing either game 6 or 7. They were up 3-2. And if they could get either game 6 or 7, then they would be world champions, of course. And that didn't work out. In fact, the parallels, since I'm over the Mavs-Rangers parallels, let's move to 82. And I swear it was a rain delay filled 13-1 loss, I think, in game 6. They just got drilled in game 6. But we all believed in game 7, and then Daryl Porter ripped our heart out, and Bruce Sutter with the save, and anyway. But I just thought it was time to, you know, to avenge Tiny Bob. And so just so you know who you're avenging, I just posted Tiny Bob circa roughly 1982
nice.
On my Twitter feed. And, yes, I swear that's me.
That little boy's hair will last forever.
No way that'll fall out.
Thick hair. He appears to be perhaps a touch Asian. But no, that's completely me.
Just slightly Orient.
A little bit of it in there.
So at SportsDerm, right. If you want to perhaps take the edge off a rough morning, it's time to post pictures of what you looked like in 82 when the Brewers broke your heart in St. Louis. So
wonderful, wonderful.
That's really all I got.
All right. Well, thanks. It's a wonderful gift. We appreciate it.
I just, you know, today was a day. It just had to happen this way. But we're at Savoy Addison, by the way, guys. And you asked, well, who would have an event on the night of Game 7?
Mm-hmm.
Funny you mentioned that. Savoy Addison is having an event tonight. Now, they have taken appropriate steps. They have brought in many, many televisions to help you enjoy both their big event tonight, which is the Art and Wine Stroll, as the grand opening of Vitruvian Park up here is from 7 to 11 tonight. And it's supposed to be out of this world.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be awesome, great food and good times, and just so very, such a very nice evening for you. And the most stressful sporting event ever, and you can combine the two here at Savoy Addison, Savoye, Addison.com, and the big Art and Wine Stroll. Which is tonight, 7
Check
to 11.
Check 1-2.
Which is...
Hey, soulmate.
1-2.
Groobs.
Open for you.
Savoy folks know how to do it right.
Yeah, you know, they didn't anticipate a conflict. It
Killer.
Required a rainout and then a game 7, but hey, sometimes it's destiny. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, Bob.
What's
Who
up,
are you
buddy?
Talking to? The guys that knew that Colby Lewis would have no problem? I mean, why would he be any different than a 2.0 pitcher, right?
You just didn't believe strong
enough,
Dan.
Isn't that how he is?
I don't know that Colby Lewis
had the
problem.
He's just a guy who does great in the postseason.
This,
I mean, and Washington listened to you guys, too, right? Let him bat.
This is like the episode in Lost where everyone turns on each other and Jack has to settle everybody
down. Let him hit.
And everybody wants
He's Colby Lewis in the playoffs. Why would we take him out of the game?
Oh. He's literally the best postseason pitcher ever.
Ever.
Seriously.
Ever.
And history,
maybe two to Whitey Ford or Curt Schilling.
And what in baseball? I'm a baseball lifer.
Meh.
What would have shown me that things would regress to and people would just become who they are? I mean,
I think we have Dan back.
It makes perfect sense that
the day after the Ron Washington epiphany, we've had a relapse.
This makes perfect sense that he would be fine here.
Can we fire Wash right now?
Yeah, let's blow this thing up.
Well, let's first ask, is there precedent? Has a manager ever been fired before the day of Game 7 of the World Series?
We need Dick Bosman.
Doug Rader.
Did you see Bob 82? Are you intrigued by
the
young man who had his heart broken in a Game 7 in St. Louis? There he is.
It's a good
little Matthew Broderick. Meets Howdy Doody. Just a mix.
Meets Ichiro.
Meets Margaret
meets
Cho.
The hair fairy. The hair fairy. Ichiro is in there.
Well, all right, boys.
What are you guys doing on your show?
Leaving.
You didn't have a star segment, did you?
No.
That's all we talked about. That was a tough loss
DallasStars.com. Every time McLaren gets on the air for a regular shift, they tweet. we're going to have a Dallas Stars segment on the ticket.
That's what it's about.
They would gone to McLaren's head.
There's no reason they should be pressed back to...
I have no choice.
That's true.
I sold out. Well, what do you want?
Glad you did.
Hey, we all have a master.
Go Stars.
Have
Go
fun,
Stars,
boys.
Indeed. All right, boys.
Broadcasting live from the Metro PCS mothership, this is Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. KTCK Dallas Fort Worth, KTDK Sanger, KPLX HD2 Fort Worth.
I don't know what to say, really. 3 minutes to the biggest battle of our professional lives all comes down to today. Either we heal as a team, or we're going to crumble. Inch by inch, play by play, till we're finished. We're in hell right now, gentlemen. Believe me. And we can stay here, get the kicked out of us, or we can fight our way back into the light. We can climb out of hell. 1 inch at a time. Now, I can't do it for you. I'm too old. I look around, I see these young faces, and I think, I mean, I made every wrong choice a middle-aged man can make. I put away all my money, believe it or not. I chased off anyone who's ever loved me. And lately, I can't even stand the face I see in the mirror. You know, when you get old in life, things get taken from you. I mean, that's part of life. But you only learn that when you start losing stuff. You find out life's a game of inches. So is football. Because in either game, life or football, the margin for error is so small. I mean, one half a step too late or too early, and you don't quite make it. One half second too slow, too fast, you don't quite catch it. The inches we need are everywhere around us.
Hell yeah.
They're in every break of the game, every minute, every second. On this team, we fight for that inch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that inch. We claw with our fingernails for that inch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying. I'll tell you this, in any fight, it's the guy who's willing to die who's going to win that itch. And I know if I'm going to have any life anymore, it's because I'm still willing to fight and die for that itch. Because that's what living is. The 6 inches in front of your face. Now, I can't make you do it. You got to look at the guy next to you. Look into his eyes. Now, I think you're going to see a guy who will go that inch with you.
Hell yeah.
You're going to see a guy who will sacrifice himself for this team because he knows when it comes down to it, you're going to do the same for him. That's a team, gentlemen.
Hell yeah.
And either we heal now as a team, or we will die as individuals. That's football, guys. That's all it is. Now, what are you going to do?
And now, Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket presents the Bob and Dan Radio Show.
Skeet, skeet.
Today, I'll tell you all about the nightmare I had last night that the Rangers blew 3 saves in Game 6. So crazy, yo. and we have a Game 7 preview. Also groups, Tom Flakeboy Gribble, Sean Bass, and me, Donovan. And now two guys who, like me, threw their $5 footlongs at their TVs in frustration last night, Bob Sturm and Dan McDowell.
All for a sponsor, Reed. He did that for a sponsor. And, you know, when you're thinking about trying a new pitcher, try this turkey.
It's healthy and delicious.
What do they got going there?
Any regular footlong sub?
What's his name? Joe Buck. Is Joe or Jack doing the game?
Joe.
Jack is dead.
When they do a bullpen call, they got like a turkey sponsor now.
Jenny O.
Yeah.
Jenny O.
Oh, yeah. Switch to turkey. When you switch, yeah.
And Walmart now has layaway again.
We feel you.
Thank goodness.
Have they said that on the game?
Oh, yeah.
Gosh.
Did I miss that?
Yeah, kind of did. Hey, everybody. It's Friday. It's October 28th. It is the Bob and the Dan radio show.
Yeah.
On this, otherwise known as Sports Judgment Day, episode 3049.
Can't believe how many people I talked to with our show that didn't know automatically what the open should be today. They're like, yeah, we'll do Donovan's Ranger montage.
There's time for that.
Sure there is. We're absolutely going to do it, not to lead off the show. There's only one way to lead off today's show.
Just not there. Just not there. Episode 3049. They have not needed the coach until today, but there was no question. It had to happen. Coach has had his feet up, watching Ranger games, sipping on lemonade.
Just getting older.
Doing the gangsta lean. Getting old in life. Wasting all his money, chasing his family away. But here we are, Game 7 of the World Series.
You know, when you get old in life, things get taken from you.
Oh, my gosh.
That's
you really have the script?
Part of life.
When did you add this?
But you only learn that's when you start losing stuff. You find out life's this game of inches, and so is football.
You know, It's really funny to make fun of Derek Holland for never watching that full movie, but then we've done the exact same thing with that full movie. Like his movie that he watches the same 3 minutes from before every
start. For Love
of
the Game.
For Love of the Game.
You've never watched Any Given Sunday?
Oh, no.
Really?
I've never even seen that scene. I just listened to it.
You haven't missed it.
I watch
Ed.
Everyone says it's awful.
Yeah. But there's one play where someone gets hit so hard his eyeball falls on the turf.
Really?
That might be the best part of it.
I feel like
why would I make that up?
I feel like we need to watch it for reasons like that.
Right.
Like that is in our
I
wheelhouse.
That was the best part.
Bad sports movies, that's really what we do. But
does he put it back in, like upside down? He sees everything upside down?
No, he doesn't put it back in. It's just laying there on the turf.
All right, well, somehow...
The Texas Stadium turf. It was filmed at Texas Stadium.
Yeah, and I... Isn't Jer in that movie somehow?
Like Big Plains Strong Jer?
Yeah.
He's like an extra or something.
He plays Texas Stadium.
Wow.
Sorry, Jer.
That's not true. You can't prove that. And as Texas Stadium...
Jeremy
Big Strong
Moran.
Jer.
Big Strong Jeremy.
That's just impossible. LL Cool J couldn't even fit inside him, let alone an entire team featuring
him. So you just think, logically, that joke doesn't make sense?
It could never happen.
Just mass.
Jer's a good actor.
Well?
I hope LL doesn't fit inside of him.
He is black.
Let alone
what does that mean?
Huh?
Let alone Bill Bellamy or whoever else was in that movie. Was Bill Bellamy in that movie?
Yeah. Bill Belichick.
T.O.?
What happened to
Jamie
Bill Bellamy?
Fox?
T.O.?
Yeah.
You told me he was going to be huge.
James Woods?
I never told you. I never said
you
one
You pulled
such
me
thing.
Aside and said,
dude, Bill Bellamy's going to be the man.
We need to buy stock in Bill Bellamy.
No, I did not.
All right. Well, somehow we got to get you to at least help get you to 7 o'clock. We can't get you all the way there. you're on your own after 3 or 3:20 or something, but we've got to get to this. And, Dan, the feedback overnight is so wide-ranging that I really don't know what to say. Like, I've actually heard from people today that swore. This guy was not doing shtick. He's done with sports. He can't take it anymore. He feels like it's shortening his life, causing him sleepless nights.
How much sleep did you get last night? Did you go right to bed after that?
No. I, in fact, probably got to bed about 12:45, and then my body woke me up at like 6.
I went really to bed. I finally settled down and went to sleep at 4.
Wow.
Tossing and turning. I couldn't take it, man.
And then we started at 6 a.m. I just started thinking about the game, and I wanted to read what this guy thought and this guy thought. And
I have consumed no media on the game. Are people into it? Or
you know what's weird?
They talking about
it? I feel like every story I've read on the game is incomplete, because last night we witnessed a sporting event that I'm not sure a word count could satisfy. Like a, you know, Peter King Monday morning quarterback, he might have been able to get to everything because he goes like 7,000 words. But that's like 13 pages. I don't think a standard-sized newspaper story could address even a quarter of the different things about the game that were noteworthy.
Looks like Bob has a new book idea.
No, I don't.
Just this game.
Game 6.
I don't, but someone should.
Get on it, Ken Daly.
Seriously. Ken should. And you can write.
So he's lazy if he doesn't, is what you're saying?
Yep.
No, I am saying, though, so that
weird.
I believe he has a flexible work schedule. But I would say if the
scoreboard.
Boy, that is a scoreboard.
No, it's not.
He has all the time in the world to write this book.
He's between projects.
Writers do have flexible work schedules. I think he would tell you that. They go from project to project. And so if his next one was a book on just Game 6 of the 2011 World Series, it could happen.
He'd have to fit that around Real Madrid, though.
Barcelona. Don't
okay.
be silly.
Oh, sorry.
That's a big difference, my friend.
Is there?
Are you okay, Sean? How is your quiet confidence?
Well, I listened
today
to some Diamond Talk last night.
It was therapeutic to talk about it for a couple hours. Nah, no tears.
You know, you can see the snot bubble coming down a little bit. You can hear
As I'm going through that last night, like everyone's going through that, I was thinking, you know what? This is, in fact, where was it? After the Freese double. And they went to extra innings.
That's off
Freeze triple.
Feliz in the ninth.
Triple, sorry.
On the famous Nelson Cruz, I hope that wall doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Effort.
I wrote down, this is not worth Sean crying. Seeing this thing unravel. I wanted Sean to cry on the air, but I decided at that moment, this just isn't worth it. I can't take this. Why are you doing this to me?
What do you mean, not worth it? Oh,
like not worth it.
You're saying you wouldn't trade.
Yeah, like
bad for
remember
that.
Yesterday we were talking about whether is it worth them blowing the
so
World
sweet.
Series just to see Sean cry on the air, and now I decided no.
What a guy. What a guy.
It's not.
No, but I agree with you. It wasn't worth it.
Usually you would like to see Sean cry on the air, or somebody.
If they would.
Not just Sean. Don't get so personal, Sean. We want someone to cry on the air.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's not
Sean.
Just you.
But Sean's at the top of the list.
Well, yeah, I mean you are at the top of the list.
Someone has to be at the top of the list.
As we look at the board in Vegas, you are 2-1. If this doesn't go right tonight.
What about Stu Cedar?
Well, Stu, we got to get him on right after Bo.
You have a higher level of significance to us,
after Bo Schembechler's untimely demise.
Shouldn't you be happy about that?
Force Sean to do an hour.
We care about you enough that we'd rather have you cry than Stu Cedar.
The Bo Schembechler death postgame show.
Well,
that would be really odd.
We need an expert to put it in perspective. And
got an open and everything.
I feel like he'd be quite verklempt.
Where did I make the call to? Now, I'm watching the game 30 or 45 minutes behind, catching up.
Oh, that's all?
Because I had to put my kids
to
bed. But I feel like when I made the call, it might have had some significance in karma, because I made a call.
Let me get a 20-second timeout, though, before you go on, because I thought about calling you last night, but I know the vow and the sacred trust of not spoiling Dan watching the game. And
I tried to get as close as I could.
Well, here's my question.
But I had to put my kids to bed. And
at what point would you authorize me to call you to say, buddy, you got to put more time on your DVR? Because no matter
I'm going how, 6 hours. I'm going extra 3 hours every time.
Oh,
don't
you,
worry
had,
about
you
it.
Had 3 hours.
I do. I do also. Yeah.
So at 12:30, well, the game went to almost midnight.
It caught it easily. It caught all the Fox 4 coverage.
Yeah,
it caught.
I know it did.
But I'm going to be close enough that even if I'm in an inning and it's a half hour left on it, I'll just go ahead and record what's next on the.
Okay.
The guide. I'll take care of it.
All right. Because I was
World Series time.
As we approached midnight, I thought maybe I should call Dan and tell him to throw another 3 hours on there. And
like as if I was 3 hours.
But
behind.
I thought by merely calling, you would be annoyed because then you would know the game went to extra innings and everything you're watching in the fourth doesn't matter. Even though it does matter.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate you thinking it out.
But don't ever call.
Right.
Okay.
I got it. I mean, I'm gonna over. Compensate. I'm not going to, you know, I know what we do for a living. I'm going to make sure this area is covered. I will have it all recorded, and I'm not that far behind anyway.
Well,
while putting everyone to bed, we had the TV on and stuff, but just a little behind.
Just know when I see Darren Oliver somehow handed the ball in a crucial high leverage situation.
Want to see what I wrote?
One of the things on my mind is I wonder if Dan has enough time on his DVR. For some reason, that went through my melon. Although I think you can, if you just look at me on Twitter, you realize there's about 6,000 things going through my head, and I can't help myself when the game gets nerve-wracking.
I haven't even looked at Twitter yet.
You're on Twitter?
As I just, at SportsTerm, actually, tweet groups. And,
cool.
Did you know that if you...
I wrote a tweet and didn't send it because I didn't want to be...
Fired?
No.
You didn't want to be Fox 4?
Not that. No, I didn't want to... It was about...
Did Fox 4's tweet... The Rangers have won the World Series, or was that a text
It wasn't
text
a tweet.
Message,
it was a something
like
that...
Like a news alert.
If you have their
A Fox
app,
text.
If you have their app on your iPhone or iPad, you got that.
But hundreds of people got it.
Yeah.
The Rangers have won the World Series. Yeah. Tune in now for coverage.
Yeah.
And then I think they sent another one and said, oops.
In fact, I am told by a few people that people got these alerts and weren't able to... Watch the game, so they were.
So then they tuned in.
Detained somewhere that the Rangers had won,
they're
having celebrations with the people around them. That their phone, you know, they're at a function and they get the message, and then everyone goes nuts because look at what Joe's phone says, and then they find out, yeah, Dewey beat Truman. There's
and
a
the
reference
heat. And the
that
heat.
All the kids will get that reference, right?
Now, would it be worth Clarice Tinsley crying?
I would know that'd be in a. Unauthentic, right?
She's a big Rangers fan. You don't watch for the championship?
She loves it.
It's Clarice.
I need your diehard status to go back before Columbus Day.
She has a rally towel, dude.
Yeah.
What about Steve Ebrake?
That's the only thing I can think of now when I see him.
Poor guy.
Steve Ebrake.
Although it was a funny line that someone asked, are they shooting the post-game show on FaceTime on someone's iPhone? I thought that was a funny technology tweet.
Oh, why? Because of the...
That
the lag,
funny.
The delay they have?
No, after Fox's HD broadcast, it's a little different when they go down to the field.
Boy, that HD is great.
I think Steve Eager wants Deucey to know that he's the news guy, and news is more important than sports. When you check that post-game show out, it's a lot of Steve Eager when it needs to be a lot of Mike Deucey.
He's a ball player.
Whatever.
Isn't he a former minor leaguer or something?
Yeah, did he pitch with the Twins or something?
That's Delphus, right?
No, I think
Eager played Finfrock.
Eager played minor league ball.
I think Eager's a ball player, too.
Yeah.
Finfrock was triple.
All right, it's 12:29. So I'll give you another few seconds to find your other Sean Cry thing, but then we got to carry over.
No, I was just looking for the actual moment when I said...
This is worth Sean crying?
No, when I said to myself, you know, I'm just too into this game, and I just don't need to go to... whatever adult site of choice. I don't need to do that tonight.
You notated that in your baseball.
Well, only because you know my thing.
Fantasy hockey.
What game was it last Saturday?
You know his thing? Really?
Well, last Saturday.
I can't wait till an archaeologist finds your notebook in 100 years and reads your notes about the 2011 World Series.
Last Saturday, I told you how I took a night off, and then they lost. So I made sure on Sunday to take my stress break in the fifth inning, and they won. And so I told you I would continue that tradition just because the Mavs was opposite. Abstaining made them win the World Series or the World Championship.
So why would you take a night off if that's the case?
Because I thought, you know what? I don't really affect this. Come on. I'm going to force myself into degrading myself.
You thought you'd treat yourself like Brody did his wife.
I'm
going
to get all guilty feeling for nothing. You know what I mean? So I decided to not do it. And they're winning. They're winning by like three. It's all good.
I never heard Buster Olney or Ozymandias address this last night.
They had six outs left.
Well, you wouldn't be able to understand. Ozzy.
They're winning by three.
Yeah, Ozzy might have.
And I'm like, I'm too locked in here. I need to stay with this game. And certainly this will prove superstition wrong.
Right. And look at you.
I didn't do that.
Well, you're gonna
I'm
be
not
tired
sure if
tonight.
Tom Grieve's wife was standing up on the counter or not. Well, yeah, tonight.
I totally forgot to stand on my counter.
Tonight we shall assault all the all the websites we have passwords for.
All right.
Fantasy hockey's going for a ride tonight.
Fantasy hockey folder will be open. And so I'll be a little bit behind in the game because I'm going to have to.
We get it. 12:30, Sports Radio 1310, the ticket from Savoy Addison.
And then you're welcome. You know what I mean?
I won't be thanking you either way. Today or tonight is the big art and wine stroll.
I think I have nothing to do with it.
The art and wine stroll.
I feel sorry for people like you without faith.
Oh, without Boy, passwords.
What a weird twist to things. But we'll tell you about that here. It's Vitruvian Park. The celebrate the grand opening of Vitruvian Park. We're at Savoy Addison. Great place to live. Big event tonight. We'll tell you about that as we go on the ticket.
Oh, boy. We are at Vitruvian Park today, Savoy Apartments. And we'd like you to know that the Ticket and Dos Equis are throwing three Halloween parties this Saturday night at Fat Daddy's in Mansfield from 6 to 8, Sports City Cafe in Mesquite 8 to 10, and Third Base in Frisco from 9:30 to 11:30. P1s come dressed and take part in a costume contest for cash. You can also play costume bowling for your chance to win Stars tickets.
All right.
All right, indeed, Bob.
How are we going to get through this?
Did we let this happen?
How are we going to talk sports today?
I don't know. Do you think? I feel like after all this, we should probably also get tomorrow night's Stars game off because of my sports hangover. This is too much.
Are you any good at...
This is too much.
Are you any good at perspective, do you think? Like, do you feel... I've seen, obviously, respected baseball types throw out crazy claims like this was the most epic game in World Series history or things of that nature that just seem so ridiculously over the top of what... really was a poorly played baseball game for at least the first half of it, if not most of it. But at the same time, certainly the most dramatic thing I've ever seen, I just read the record for blown leads in a World Series game is 3. The Rangers blew 5 leads yesterday.
Yeah, we're number one.
Five.
Woo!
Not only did they set the all-time record, they darn near doubled it. An incredible feat. In fact, I think... the record for combined teams blown leads was like 3 or 4, and there were 6 last night because the Cardinals also had one lead that they blew. It was back and forth.
2-1 lead, right? Yeah, they did have a...
It was back and forth. It was dramatic. It was excruciating on every level, and there were false endings. It was like Dark Knight, the Batman movie of a couple years ago where you thought it was the end and you reached for your possessions and were about to leave the theater. Oh, no, they had 20 more minutes on it. The final strike, twice, the Josh home run, these are all endings, right? It's
Boy, that Josh home run, I had
so storybook.
Sports happy laugh as the camera, and Fox is so great. It's almost like they're getting so redundant at it because there's so much pressure and drama in this game, one game. But they're so great at the camera shot to every face that's necessary that you see
and a few
what
that
Nolan's
aren't.
Thinking. And,
I love okay. the every position camera
angle.
They
found the hot MILF in St. Louis. They found the hot young.
They didn't let her go. They showed her
but
several times.
Josh hit that home run and sports happy laugh as Nolan and JD are doing an Eiffel Tower high five over Jay or over Nolan's wife, and it's just that it happened, and look at this, and can you believe this? And then, of course, I was like, oh, that's Darren Oliver.
Yes.
And I'm in this weird mode now, Bob. I'm in this weird, Wash has got this, I need to lay back and enjoy Wash because I love Wash and I do think his.
I'm happy we're here because I wanted to ask you on this. Is that, okay, there's 50 decisions last night, 10 that we could second guess without any problem, but one in particular drives me crazy. And that might be the one that I think you're referencing right there.
What?
Is not bringing Feliz back out in the 10th.
Yep. So I'm in that mode trying to justify what Wash does, to tell you the truth. And it's hard throughout that game. It was easy for me to slide into, well, maybe I just think he's a great 162 game man. You know what I mean? Like the we'll go back to the other decisions, I guess. But this particular decision, I'm justifying it with, all right, okay, Feliz, right-handed pitcher. You got Descalso and John Jay up. They are both lefties. And then you have the pitcher spot because La Russa had overmanaged to a point where they get to extra innings and they have no bench left, none. So you're like, well, okay, all right, I can see this. Two lefties and the pitcher spot. But also, if you look on the other side of it, you've got two weak hitters who Feliz could theoretically blow away, right? You don't mess with Punto's types, right? After him and you get him up.
I felt great that Feliz was going to gas these three clowns and we were all going to go get a snack.
But Oliver's obviously a finesse pitcher. He's 40-something.
He just turned 41, Dan.
He's going to, he's the junk guy.
But what about?
He's going to throw some junk up there, but it's going to be something maybe that you can get a bat on the ball. Can't blow him away.
He was alive when the Rangers still played in Washington.
He was in the game.
Think about that.
What about Gonzalez?
Wait. Oh, he was alive.
He was alive when the Rangers played in Washington.
Yeah, what about Gonzalez? At least he throws over 75 miles an hour if you just have to have a left hand.
Yeah, you know what? Mike Gonzalez is interesting, and then here's what I thought regarding that. Because, Donovan, I absolutely thought of that, too, when thinking, how am I justifying this? Because you can think of any two sides of any issue, and if I'm Wash, what am I thinking here? Well, I'm justifying that with, this is my guy who I know and have more confidence in because I've been around him longer, and I don't think that's a good justification, that I know you better. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
The Darren Oliver thing, I know him pretty well too. And what I know is I don't ever feel like Darren Oliver's got this. You know?
I kind of felt, and this is why you almost have to watch the game again if you want to truly consume it right, and I know no one's a masochist enough to do that, but
it's on MLB Network right now if you want to.
I can't imagine anyone's that big a masochist, but if you are, Godspeed. Hey, you're a bigger man than I am. The point is, at the time, you're so emotional that despite the fact that Feliz seems like the right call here, you almost shrug it off and say, it is kind of fitting that Darren Oliver closes this thing out.
Looking full circle. Because
I was thinking the same thing.
He was 93. He pitched on that 96 team.
He was on that first Ranger playoff team, right?
Wasn't he
on
the
90? Yeah. I mean,
this is really cool of Wash to let him do this.
He played with Nolan.
He was in
the Nolan Ventura game.
This is getting Walter Payton a touchdown in that Super Bowl 20. This is what should happen. This is a great moment for Darren Oliver. And then you're like, oh my gosh, no.
Because it was so easy, right?
Yeah.
Two weak hitting lefties and a pitcher. That's all I'm asking you to do.
Right. After
to do,
Josh dude. Played the hero.
There's
Josh just storybooked this thing.
Yeah.
Gosh.
It was Josh who hadn't had a home run this postseason, who
and make no mistake,
has been through so much, and this season with Josh and the fan dying, Josh threw him the ball and all this stuff, and Josh's whole it fit.
Yeah, it did. And make no mistake, it's entirely possible Feliz would have gone out there and blown it again.
Don't know where his head.
I kind of think, you know, and I heard the guys talk about this on my way in, and I think Sean might have even been talking about this, but the idea that Feliz was having a real tough time in the dugout in the 10th, he was beside himself. I don't know this. I'm simply taking their words on what they were reading or seeing up there in St. Louis. But just the adrenaline shot of Josh's home run, you would think would get the entire dugout back to life. And Nefty's like, all right, I can get this back and get back out there. Of all the second guesses, and there's no guarantee that any of these second guesses work differently, Dan. If they pinch it for Colby in the fifth, it's a grounder back to the pitcher, just as likely as it is a laced liner into center field and two-run score. None of these second guesses can be proven, but the one that will drive me crazy, especially if tonight doesn't go right, is handing the ball to Darren Oliver in the 10th as opposed to Nefty, and not letting Nefty try to close a second two-run lead in as many innings. And, yeah, you're asking him to do more, but the way they burned through their pitchers last night, the way they took Feldman out on a very low percentage play, all I could think of was Chuck Morgan. And I don't know if Chuck Morgan felt like this was to be publicly consumed or if he was just telling this to me, so I hope he doesn't mind. But I think it's such a good sports point, I don't want to steal it. And that is in game two, right before the Rangers rally, he looked at me and said, I just don't know if the Rangers are set up for National League Baseball. And it's a very well-constructed point he was making, even if he didn't spend hours crafting it, that the Rangers seldom play National League Baseball, but when they do, they really seem like they're at a distinct disadvantage for a number of reasons.
And it's also just they're not used to it. They don't really know.
That might be the biggest.
You know how repetitions are important in life
as far as your profession, whatever
you're doing. It's got to be important for Wash too, and knowing. All right, the semi-breaking news sounder.
Matt Holliday out tonight with a sprained right wrist. He will not be playing. We're placed on the roster by some outfielder named Adron Chambers.
He's good.
Who no doubt will have a high leverage at bat tonight.
All right, let's just pick it up. I'd like to talk.
Not time to
about 8,000 things, but
time for a Cowboys Eagles preview yet.
We'll start with the decision. Sports. I am glad I didn't have to make, but I think it's a very controversial one that Ron Washington made. See, that tease? That can mean like seven things, right?
That's perfect.
So stay tuned.
Hold it now!
It's two segments burned in one. Why Today Doesn't Suck. This afternoon at 2:50 during the Bad Radio Hardline Mix and Mingle on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
Well, it appears a lot of people are talking about this game, Bob. Went out during the break and checked a few water coolers, and it is a hot topic, Game 6 of the World Series, where the Rangers seemed, they absolutely had it in their hands and let it slip away. We are here at Savoy Apartments today. We want you to stop by this weekend. Let's see, they got a big wine stroll thing going on tonight, and art and wine, and they have lots of TVs available. So if you're looking to make this your Ranger watching destination, you can do so on off of Marsh, between Marsh and Midway, Vitruvian Way. It's Savoy Apartments. They're awesome. You need to come out here just to see it for yourself.
It's a big night with well, let's see. You can pack a picnic, enjoy a free night under the stars while enjoying artwork by select local artists and musicians. You can purchase tickets for a sip and sample and enjoy four pairings that are hand-selected by Chef Richard Chamberlain, Dan, so you know it's good. And an upscale pop-up restaurant.
He's good at selecting things.
So,
but by hand, only if he selects them by hand. Is he hand-selecting them, or how is he doing?
I think so. Oh. Go to Addison TX.gov today for more information. AddisonTX.gov.
Okay, in a night of a million decisions, the Washington decision that I couldn't make. Like, I try to have a concrete opinion at each turn. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would do this. I write it down, and then whether it turns out or not, I just want to know so that I'm not second guessing, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like to do that along with the game. And the point where I couldn't decide, I just didn't know how to play this because I thought they were both losing hands, was in the is the intentional walk to Pujols.
Ah.
Okay, so one out. It's, what was it, second and third. This is after Kyle Loesch. Where, really confusing point of the game to me, too. Did they announce Edwin Jackson as a pinch hitter?
Yes.
Pitcher?
Yeah, they announced him as a pinch hitter.
But then they brought in Loesch.
Because they say he's a better bunter.
But burning Edwin Jackson, if this game kept going, which it did, but if it kept going even longer, although I guess they put in Westbrook and he's a starter, so I guess they would have rode Westbrook for eight innings should they have needed to, but I just found that weird. Okay, so Loesch bunts.
Remember Jake Westbrook, by the way?
I do. Very famous Cleveland Indian who once had a career. Okay, so Loesch bunts over the head of Beltre. They got that wheel play going, and Loesch bunts over his head.
Heck of a bunt. If he meant to do it.
If he meant,
yeah,
who knows?
I don't think he did, but
he hit him where they ain't.
Anyway, Elvis had to reverse field, actually be able to field it, and then throw him out was a pretty impressive thing, I thought. So now what do we got?
Well, now we got second and third with
one out.
With Terrio.
One out, second and third. Terrio is up. Feldman comes in. And the shine is off every pitcher, by the way. It's not just Ogando or I don't know who they throw out there anymore. You know, it's just whatever. Because
Feldman was your best of a bunch of bad choices. He, at times he's been very effective. I don't know where Mike Gonzalez would be in this conversation, but when I looked at the remaining ideas for the Rangers, once Adams and Feliz are burned and Holland's done and you got all these guys off the table, now you're looking at Oliver, Feldman, Lowe, and who am I forgetting?
Gonzalez.
I guess CJ.
Mike Gonzalez is an interesting name that you think he's got some stuff.
He's closed in the past.
He's closed.
Yes.
He's got some heat, and you might think if you're going to make this particular decision, and I don't even want to sound like I'm second-guessing, only in that, like I said, when a decision is to be made, I like to make one, and then the only way I'm allowed to second-guess, to me, is if I made the other decision. So this one, I'm just saying, I don't know what I would have done if I'm Wash, but a severe second guess could be, all right, if you're going to intentionally walk Pujols,
have him ready for Berkman.
Well, have, yeah, Gonzalez ready to go, so now you got a lefty at least.
Turn him around to the right side where he's not as effective.
Exactly.
Because Berkman is there's two scary points in this lineup.
In fact,
two guys, and that's it. That's the whole point of the Rangers being a more complete team, is the St. Louis lineup, especially Holiday's hurt now, but Holiday hasn't been anything. He sucked.
No RBIs at all.
I've been wanting to go at, I mean,
in fact,
bring
argument,
more Holiday on.
An argument out there was, do you walk them both?
I thought about that, too.
That was in the pool. So, I mean, if you go after Pujols and he beats you, it's like, what are you doing going after Pujols? If you intentionally walk Pujols and Berkman beats you, it's like, well, what are you doing? You know, he's already had a home run tonight, and he's red hot. You know,
he's so confident. He's such a professional hitter.
That would have been out there, but Wash has been out there as far as walking him with nobody on base and everything. To walk the bases loaded in that situation, I think I would have. I think I could have seen the logic in that. That's what I'm saying. I see the logic in bringing in Oliver to face two lefties and a pitcher. I mean, you can see where there's logic. I'm not so sure you can see where there's logic. Let's go back to, like I said, there's a million decisions, but the whole leaving Colby in to hit, if you are going to be prepared to yank him pretty quickly in the next inning, well, then I don't see the logic. If you're still yanking him and he hasn't given up a hit out of the infield, I know he walked people, but do you know what I'm saying? Like,
I
find less logic in that move than I find with putting Darren Oliver in.
I just caught myself a lot last night. Being annoyed at managerial decisions, for sure. But really being annoyed at guys who I know can make plays, not making plays. And if you want to talk about Mike Young at first base, looking like he's got a frying pan out there instead of a glove, and Nelson Cruz on the catch to win a world title, I need you to sell out on that wall, dude, if you have to. I don't need you looking like you're breaking stride and you're fearful that that wall's really going to hurt. Easy for me to say.
Which one is that? Is that the freeze?
That was
the freeze triple,
the
yeah.
The hit that lost the World
Series.
Well,
I thought if he just run through it, you catch it.
Yeah, and
don't jump. Don't turn your back to try to jump. Run through
it. And he really wasn't close to the wall when he thought he was. It was like he forgot what the warning track was for. And I don't know. It's, very, very easy.
Tough one, yeah.
Very, very easy for me to sit on the couch and say that.
That ball was smoke, though.
But even lackadaisical Elvis at shortstop, you know, thinking he has more time to make the throw and he doesn't.
How is that not an error? Where's that?
Remind me exactly where that was.
Wasn't
that the ninth?
That is the...
Or was that the eighth? I'm trying to remember.
Did I have 18 pages of notes?
That is the eighth.
That is the eighth,
yes.
Wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
So they got away with it.
Know your situation, because Molina is at first.
Yes.
He has no speed. Ian has time to get to the bag with Molina running the second.
Is that Descalso up?
Yes. And they gave...
They scored an infield hit. I disagree with that.
Absolutely.
He hesitated. He looked to second. Ian was there.
He was running toward the bag, and it's Molina.
Initially, McCarver had said, Ian was playing off to because they're playing Descalso to pull. Number one, why would they do that? Because who was in the game? What's his name? The righty.
Adams.
Mike Adams, who throws some gas, right? So I'm not sure you think Descalso is going to yank him, but then they showed that replay. Ian was right there. He looked over to Ian, kind of hesitated, and threw to first. Now they don't give an error, but that's certainly a mental error.
Well, they got out of it,
allows the meter to order to come up in the ninth.
And why is Mike Adams not in that game earlier?
That's a great question. Too.
Lance Berkman, you know, he's batting from the right side. The Dutch oven gets him out. You have nothing but right-handers coming up. Wash should have went out there and put in Mike Adams. And look, Mike Adams could have wet the bed for all we know.
Yeah,
but
how all of a sudden we're so knee-jerky? You think we're knee-jerky? And we talk about, and one of the things I think is great about Wash is that he's not knee-jerky, but I think he's knee-jerky in that, look, now Derek Holland is a guy that can pitch whenever and get anyone out. Really?
I think it will sound...
we went to that well. Be happy you went to that well.
I think it would sound contradictory to go too hard on Wash today after yesterday's show on some levels, but on other levels in the National League parks, he does look like a fish out of water in most of these games that we've seen in these last two World Series. It looks like he gets yanked into these games of, we're in the National League, so I got to do things this way now, and there's overmanaging at times, and it's
like he's following La Russa's lead and overmanaging,
or thinking he has to do everything different because he's in a different park, and I almost think he should. You know, and there's certain things you have to do differently, obviously, with that pitcher slot coming around all the time. But it just seems to me like...
Isn't it awesome, though?
I like it, but people hate it. All over Twitter last night, people feel like the National League game, especially on that Colby bunt in the second or third inning with the wheel play, that the National League game is horrible because pitchers are up there and they look clueless at the plate.
Don't you call that off? If you see them charging,
of course I do.
You gotta call that off.
But
it's like if he strikes out,
do you know how there's
first and second with one out?
Yes.
You know how there's
second.
An intentional walk? Should the Rangers call for an intentional like they just say we strike out?
Would have been way
just,
more.
We don't want
just stand there with the bat and
like
don't
at least
even swing.
You won't hit into a double play.
BTC
right?
At the great game.
All right, it's 108. It's the ticket. Obviously, we have plenty more, including. Very intriguing audio from Wash last night about Mike Young at first base. Let's go there next on the ticket.
The Metroplex's baseball show of record, The Hardline, has a special Rangers-Cardinals World Series pregame show along with the rest of the ticket team. Today, beginning at 5:30, brought to you by Jay Gilligan's Centennial Big Daddy's Majestic and live on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
116, it is the Bob and the Dan Show live today from Savoy Addison, Savoye Addison.com. Great place to live. Good times. Big event tonight, which you can find at AddisonTX.gov. Their big art and wine night. And, Dan, they have brought in tons of televisions. So you can still...
Especially for tonight.
You can... make her dreams come true and still see the game.
Just like we're watching Jeremy Kyle right now. You can watch that TV tonight.
What is Jeremy Kyle? Anyway.
I don't know.
Many, many plot twists and turns last night. One that may have been slightly lost in the shuffle, at least in my head, was kind of the understated exit of Mike Young from the game.
Yeah, and you didn't really think about it until you see Mitch Moreland up in a key situation later, and you're like,
"Bring it up."
Wait, why is Mitch?
Whoa! Huh? Wait a minute.
I mean, we're all thinking it.
Like they must have.
I'm not even sure they knew he was out for an extra inning, for an inning later.
No, they never came on and said defensive replacement. No, you know, and they always do. And there's no way you put in Mitch Moreland to pinch hit. For Mike Young.
So
he clearly was already in the game.
Now that was for the bottom of the seventh inning. By the way, Moreland came up in the eighth, if I'm not mistaken. So a very high leverage at bat, but they felt so strongly about getting Michael Young out of there, partly because of what he did in the sixth inning. Now, you might have missed this on the broadcast, and
man,
it will really...
What a slow-mo camera. When they show that, it really looks bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I think in the old days, you might have just ignored Micah Young a little more.
He had another questionable play, remind me, if third or fourth inning. Didn't he have a...
Third inning.
Yeah, that was the boot. Threw it to Colby, and Colby missed the ball.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. Okay, so the one in the sixth.
That was the one where he turned to second to throw it and lost the handle. Then
dove.
Okay, yeah. I got my boots mixed up. But it was clear after those two plays and a number of plays the first time we were in St. Louis that Mike Young is a bit of an anchor at first base. And by a bit, I mean a significant anchor at first base, so much so that they wanted to try Napoli and Arlington. They're doing the best they can. It's almost identical to Vlad last year in right field in San Francisco, where you're just like, good gosh, just get through this, please. We want you in the lineup. We need you in the lineup. But clearly, if we were a National League team, there'd be no place for you to play. And I know Mike Young discussions can go on for hours.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's a real...
To weigh the value of a glove at first, I mean, come on. That's where you stick the fat kid.
Right.
Almost,
it's weird,
know,
though.
Versus
weird.
Versus that bat, which they've nearly led the league in hitting.
They've piecemealed first base together all season, and we didn't care. But now we're in the...
162 is different than 7. You know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh, it is. Especially when you don't have home field advantage. Thanks, CJ. Thanks, Prince Fielder. In the World Series, now these such giant games, including Game 6 in the World Series, you got to put them at first base because no one else can think of another idea. Although you do get emails saying, can he play right field by any chance or left field? And don't even worry about it.
They tried to stick him out there early, right? But then that was talking spring training for him to kind of learn this outfield position.
I wonder.
It's hard to hide on a baseball field, though. There's going to be something
happens. I really wonder where this goes for next spring. I really wonder how they see the end of that contract. Because
he's a DH.
Okay, but
they can do the same thing next year as far as rotating him and Napoli and Moreland and Moreland at catcher with whoever.
Okay, well, I told you all that to play this audio for you, which I wish I could enhance better. But many people saw it live, and I'm curious if you guys did. Let's just play it and see if you guys know the exact moment, and we'll take it from there, and maybe we'll have to replay it or even translate what Wash is saying.
Where is this now? Six?
This is the bottom of the six.
Okay.
Mike Young has just had his moment at first base. They show one of the innocuous cutaway shots to Wash and Mike Maddox. And evidently, there's a microphone close by.
Huh.
Because if you can lip read at all and hear at all, you hear Wash being extremely honest when clearly if he knew he was on live television, he would not be this honest. See if you can hear it. It will be difficult, but try about 10 seconds into this cut.
Breeze fouls it out of play. Colby Lewis has had two big votes of confidence from his manager, Ron Washington. He let him hit in the fifth with the bases loaded, two out. Now here in the bottom of the sixth.
And it's gone.
No.
Okay. Wash is clearly telling Maddox, and if you go back and look for it, it's there. We've got to get his arse out of the field now.
Yep.
And I put that on Twitter to make sure everyone agreed that that was what was
that's
said.
After the bobble, the drop the ball, he dives at the bag, but he doesn't get Holiday.
Yeah, here it is again.
Loaded, two out. Now here in.
Now that you told me what he said, I kind of hear the shadow of that.
Yeah,
kind of, but
yeah, and there were people arguing at the time on Twitter that he said we got to get the team out of the field, which just is code for we need one more out, that sort of thing. But then, through no coincidence, Mike Young never got back on the diamond that night. They substituted him before the next time the Rangers ran out into the field. So when the manager and pitching coach are talking and you normally can't hear what they're saying.
Wow, taking him out of a tie game, too.
That they felt so strongly that Young is such a danger spot in this type of game that they got to get his arse out of the field now.
Two out. Now hearing the...
Yep.
Like I said,
yeah, I saw
a shadow.
When he his lips. Yeah,
I hear
like,
a silhouette
whoa.
Of it.
Yeah.
Because at first he's talking to Maddox, I thought maybe he was talking about Colby. But then I was like, no.
That's, but then when you see the defensive replacement that early in the game, I mean, it's not early, bottom of the seventh, but it's early.
But it is right before they take Colby out, or no? Actually, he left Colby in. He walked out, left Colby in.
Actually, specifically what happened is the Rangers in the top of the seventh got themselves a lead. And so for the bottom of the seventh, let's keep this lead. We're up 7-4. Let's have sound defense now and get on out of here.
Yeah, I mean, boy, you're thinking Michael Young's back.
Yeah,
coming
you're
up
in the
second,
seventh.
In that next inning, you know, maybe you wait, let him get another at bat before you replace him. But boy, he had that frying pan.
Maybe that's,
and they said you got to get him out of there.
Maybe that's where the double switch comes into play.
Well, there's something to that.
We got a double switch. Maybe we got two of them even. But I am a double switch homer. I watch National League games just wanting to see a double switch. I don't know.
That and catcher's interference.
But double switches, they're cool. They're a part of the game. This is why I love National League ball. I think it makes you think. It makes you think way more. It's a lot more than just filling out the lineup card and then just seeing what happens. You know, you really have to stay active throughout the game. I'm not sure La Russa's great at it, but he's got more reps at doing it. You know?
And you know what? That's so important.
And same thing with pitchers bunting. They just got more reps. I'm
confident.
They're bad. They're all bad hitters.
I'm confident Wash would be way better at these decisions in the National League Park if he's done it five times in his life.
Time.
Well, I mean, they do have interleague play now, but those games are not all in, balls out, let's win this thing today or our life is going to end.
You're not using your whole bullpen or exhausting your bench.
Your whole rotation.
You're all looking ahead to this week and next week, and you know those games are way different. Those games are, I mean, all of baseball is way different than what we're seeing now.
Yes. All right. Well, a flag could be thrown on us for not mentioning the name Mike Napoli to this portion of the show, but that needs to happen. How his leg isn't broken needs to be discussed.
How'd you feel when they start discussing who's going to be the MVP?
Dude. It only adds to the stress. Seeing guys like Groups count down the outs left and
Was he doing that on Twitter?
Well,
sorry.
And you know, what'd you say?
Sorry.
Well, write down tweet 27 right now.
I just don't, you know.
Because that's the only way they win the game, if they get 24 outs.
And you know, there's
that's
people.
Bad.
There's,
get it?
There's people on email and on Twitter. And,
I got it.
You know, there's people all over who have lost their minds and they're cussing anyone who in any direction. And you can just tell it's a very high stress time in this little metroplex of ours. And it's.
This will bring us together, though.
It all just... I have a quiet confidence
about tonight.
Do you? Oh, good. All right, it's 126.
I mean, how should I act?
The Mike Napoli discussion, the very famous one, will be next.
Hi, this is George DeJohn. Have you tried everything to lose fat? Did you know environmental and mental stresses play a huge role on your metabolism? What stressors do you have that are affecting your fat loss efforts? Find out Saturday, 7 a.m. on the Train Station Fitness Show.
Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket means what we say. Baseball is a talking sport, and this is the only place to talk about Rangers, Cardinals, and the World Series.
When you lose like that, how do you come back and win the next night?
This thing is going all seven.
One of the most incredibly epic games you'll ever see.
This is going to go down as the greatest World Series game of all time.
It was the greatest World Series game that I've ever seen.
It comes down to Game 7 for the Rangers.
Epic, gut-wrenching, heartbreaking, one for the ages.
Instant knee-jerk reactions and hot sports opinions as the Rangers head into a deciding World Series Game 7. Brought to you by Jay Gilligan's, Centennial Fine Wine and Spirits, DriverSelect.com, Southwest Airlines, and only on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Crude also on 99.5 HD2.
NASCAR questions need some answers. Who will unseat Jimmy Johnson? Can Jeff Gordon end his 9-year drought? The chase for the Sprint Cup is on the track. And we're talking about it tomorrow afternoon at 1 on Race Week with Rich Phillips. Brought to you by Texas Motor Speedway, Fagan Topper Sales and Truck Accessories, and Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Bob, you know we're going to the Stars game tomorrow as they take on the Devils.
You too?
It's hat trick or treat. Get it? Hat trick and then trick or treat. Okay. Guess who else is going? Guess who? The Stars said, Bob and Dan out here, we need a little more power. We need power to draw people to a Stars game.
Okay.
That's why tomorrow night.
Michael Kirkman.
You can join the Ticket's own Groobs.
Really?
According to this copy. Now, also according to this copy, it says, before you watch the Stars take on the Devils, hang out with on the concourse. So it doesn't really add up grammatically.
In his chipmunk uniform? In his costume?
Well, it's good to see the Stars have figured out their attendance problem.
More Groobs.
Shoopy.
You're going to a Stars game, huh?
They're my favorite.
Are you going as Zach Galifianakis?
Nah, Mike Napoli.
Are you dressing up?
Planning on it.
As Mike Napoli?
Yeah.
In a chipmunk.
I'm going to get the tattoo and everything. Well, of course.
That's great. Oh, you're going to get his mom's name tattooed on your arm?
Yep.
All right, so join Groobs out there tomorrow. You teased Napoli.
I
think that's a wonderful place
to start. I also want to stress, though, it is Joe Nieuwendyk Hall of Fame night out there. And a big ceremony. And
I'm actually presenting him.
Are you? Wow. Honor the great Joe Nieuwendyk as he heads into the Hall of Fame as the big ceremony tomorrow night.
Will you?
I want to see that so bad.
They always, the new thing now, Groobs, is they announce a military guy. And they let him stand on the ice?
Yeah, that's going to be me.
With the stick kid? Will you tackle him?
Sure. Just take out his legs.
Or try, and then, like,
I would just
falls down.
I would like Groobs to present Joe Nieuwendyk whatever and just offer a few anecdotes, some memories about his career that stick out to you.
Won't Groobs walk down the aisle with the ring on a pillow for Nieuwendyk and present it to him?
Like Jinxie.
Enough laughs.
Oh.
We have the World Series.
Enough fun. Let's get back to doing our show.
Let's get back to... At what point can we talk about Game 7 and put this behind us?
We have Monday. So much more. Yeah, okay. so much more to talk about
Monday.
Game 6.
Tonight at 7, we can put it behind us.
Right.
So,
where did they start talking about the MVP? I noted that, but I've never written so many notes on a baseball game.
I think it was after he gunned.
But your notes are so much more than just baseball, we found.
Wasn't after he gunned out Holiday?
That's what it is. What inning was that? Give me an inning. I write down the inning, at least.
That was...
Oh.
Because that was awesome.
That was awesome.
That was.
And let's give Fox that credit for showing how awesome Beltre was. How about, so you stick your foot... Sixth inning, you say?
Yeah.
You stick your foot 6 inches away from the bag, blocking his right hand? Genius! I mean, it was wonderful. And hurting his right hand, it turns out. Not that... That might be more of a help getting him out of the lineup,
right.
Although... You can't really say that, only that... I mean, you see what Josh Hamilton did, is you stick with him. Josh Hamilton is Josh Hamilton. He's going to do something sooner or later. That's probably a pretty good bet by Washington.
What an amazing...
Matt Holliday, that's kind of the way I felt, too, is eventually this guy's going to... I mean, he is raked all season long, and maybe all career long, you can say that. So the odds were not good that he would keep sucking, so I guess it's good that they get him out of there, but...
Well, let's get to Napoli.
All right. The Napoli, yeah, after he threw down to third, you're like, what has this guy not done?
Well...
And go earlier in the game.
I think the big moment, probably top of the fourth, where he drives in a run with a double down the line that kind of bounced right there on the line. And let's see, am I doing this right?
I'm trying to remember. Four. Go ahead.
Yeah, the top of four. Well, anyway, on the play into second base.
That's Colby.
Boy, what a Fox Colby's. Replay, too.
It wasn't a double then.
Just fair.
Napoli hit a single.
Yeah, he was at first.
Yeah.
But
Gentry struck out.
Right.
And then there you go with Colby.
How's that 100-inch TV doing with that Fox slow-mo replay
on that
grass? The white piece of grass flying in the air,
it
you know it's fair.
Like it's just one. It's, one blade.
It was awesome.
It's delightful, and I want to say my first world pain that I have not been able to see many of these World Series games on television. I haven't enjoyed the infrared camera that everyone's ridiculing, but I thought on that Colby Lewis play, kind of felt like Predator a little bit and kind of enjoyed it. So
it seems like technology that's cool, but they don't really know why. And
well, but clearly on the infrared, you see Colby miss the bag. So It worked.
Although it was also clear on the other.
On the regular camera, you saw
like that.
But that was extra cool. That was extra cool. Anyway, the Napoli picture that is floating around, and if you guys want to look at my screen, you can, but you saw the game last night. How is that not broken?
I know.
First of all, what's he doing?
That's like a 90-degree.
What sort of slide is he thinking there?
Should I go up straight? Should I slide? And at the very last minute, he thought, you know what? I'm not going to slide.
A lot of guys, and you'll see them, slide at home even when there's no play at home. Like, that's just their mode. That's their mode. We're going to slide. And that's kind of the mode he should have been in, you know?
Yeah, but didn't the ball get away from him, so he was going to start running the third?
Yeah, he was definitely in no man's land there, so he did the very awkward half-slide, half-going standing, and ended up almost breaking
1 inch from the bag?
Yes, almost breaking his left ankle, and to say that is not hyperbole. The left toe, the left big toe, picture it pointing almost directly behind you, and then all of your weight landing on it, and then consider yourself a man of some size, and the amount of stress that must have gone on that ankle. We have seen gruesome injuries like that end seasons. So for that guy, especially the one guy who plays the position where he is to crouch the rest of the game and to plant and throw when throwing to the next base, I was really, really shocked that Napoli could finish the game, especially with some level of effectiveness with that snap throw to third. And I will be equally shocked if somehow that thing didn't swell up to basketball size overnight.
It has to be a grapefruit in his
and he can go
shoe right now.
Now they're saying he'll give it a go. They're saying Nelson will give it a go. But I guess
what's wrong with Nelly Cruz?
No, he left the game with a groin injury.
Yeah, I knew he left the game.
When did he sustain the groin injury?
I'm guessing that was on the jump.
Maybe the play at the
wall.
They
didn't even really say, but I can imagine that happening.
I suppose I should before I get too critical of his play in the ninth at the wall. Maybe he hurt himself on the way. I don't have any idea. But he looked like he was there in plenty of time. But then by pulling up to kind of avoid the wall, it looked like he actually lost his beat on the ball, and that was a slow motion, everyone screaming no at their TV simultaneously across the Metroplex moment.
It didn't seem necessary to jump. Just run through it.
Yeah,
through it, put the glove up, and I think you catch it.
Not easy, but certainly a major league play that has to be made. And then if all the stakes, you know, there are times where you make a play in June where you're being conservative because if you miss it, bad things happen, and it turns it into a triple. And that play, I think you go all in, because if you make the catch, the World Series is over, and you have the trophy, and that's a really neat thing. So if ever you're going to gamble there and sell out and risk knocking yourself out and having everyone circle the bases, that's there, right?
Yeah.
You're not comfortable with second-guessing that play, are you?
No, it's so bang-bang, and I can't get in his head. It's not.
Don't you think
it's
there?
It's not a time when you have time to think. And
I'm not asking him to Bo Jackson the wall or anything. I'm asking him to make a play that
he's
made.
And he had room. He had room. I think he thought he was a lot closer than what he was. Just run through it.
I might like to watch the replay again.
You just run through it, I think you catch it, and then two steps, you hit the wall.
Well,
but after you catch it, you have two steps to kind of brace yourself. It seemed like he turned his back to the wall.
It does.
And took a jump when he didn't have to, and that slows you down and gets you off your stride.
You know.
I mean, that ball was smoked. It was smoked out there, slicing and everything.
Yeah, you're talking about a guy running back. It's a tough one. It's not one that you can sit and think, how am I going to approach this?
It would have been a nice catch, but it's also a catch that if you're going to win the whole thing, you probably got to make. How's that?
But are certain guys, and they say, well, you can't stop him from playing. Like, does he just play that way? Is that the way Nelly plays that ball? Do you know what I mean?
Because I'll tell you what.
I agree with what you're saying, too. It's the World Series. It's the last play.
How about this?
Potentially.
In the words of 300.
And how would it suck if you got hurt enough that you can't play anyway? Because
it's over.
Let me quote the movie 300, Dan, which I know you know by heart. Come back with your shield or on your shield. So on that play, either make the catch or die trying. Don't pull up and try to find where you are. And I think you got to go balls out and either make the catch or die trying. You can't have this, man. Let me kind of go in between on that play. Again, easy for Mr. Professional Outfielder to sit here and say all this.
Well,
as I spent plenty of time in the show.
It's don't justify or don't.
And I wear my Nelly Cruz shirt. I wanted it to happen.
I know. No one's a Nelly Cruz homer like you. He's a Sterminator.
He's a Sterminator. I've owned him for 4 years in fantasy baseball. Come on, Nelly. You don't get any points for World Series catches.
Oh, really?
No.
I was wondering what I'd get if Alan Craig got to be World Series MVP. Does it look like he could have been in the running? Right now, I guess Freeze is in the running, and still Napoli.
You got to put Berkman up there.
How about
also?
Freeze?
Didn't you feel weird, though,
when
they're...
How about David Freeze's night? That pop-up to third base, the nonchalant pop-up that he dropped.
So softball.
But it won't be remembered.
He made up for it a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. That's why Feliz has to get that ball in the 10th. That's why these games, they turn around, they give you a chance at redemption. And I don't want Darren Oliver taking the ball in the 10th. But
no one felt good about that.
Two-run
lead. No one. Not even Darren Oliver.
You know, I want you to... You guys to come up with what's your top second guess? Is it Oliver? Is it
yes?
Is it Colby not hitting? Is it, you know what I mean? Is it Derek Holland going out? There's a lot of them.
I would say
the top second guess.
Just the top one. It during the break.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right.
And then we're gonna do a little montage action next. We're gonna entertain the possibility of phone calls. We have a lot of audio. You should hear what Fox 4 is doing after the game.
We're gonna play Yahtzee.
From Savoy. We're at Savoy, Savoye, Addison.com. Come on out here. They got a big art and wine stroll event this evening. They have ordered extra TVs to be rolled in here for everybody. It's a great place. It is the ultimate in luxury apartment living. So we just want to get the word out about this place. It is in Addison. It is off Marsh, just north of the tollway. Or excuse me, just north of 635. North of the tollway is like Minnesota, right? All right. So that's where we are today, and we are talking World Series next. Why does it hurt so bad?
From the get-go, before the series started, I told everybody, you know, this is going to be an unbelievable series. This is two great ball clubs are going at it.
Throw down to third, and out at third is Holiday. From his knees, Mike Napoli strikes again. Beltre blocked the bag with his right foot. He was out.
Fly ball into right center. Back at the track. His ball is gone. And Adrian Beltre has put the Rangers up 5-4 in the seventh inning of Game 6.
Oh,
high fly ball down the left field line. This ball is gone. The eighth home run this postseason for Nelson Cruz. And the Rangers have a 6-4 lead in the seventh.
Just got to kind of tip your hat to him tonight and move on, get ready for tomorrow.
I understand that it's not over until you get that last out. And I was just sitting there praying that we get that last out.
Here. 8 pound, 6 ounce, newborn infant Jesus. Don't even know word yet. Just little infant, so cuddly, but still omnipotent.
And we didn't get it. And you have to tip your hat to the Cardinals, the way they fought tonight and took the game from us.
That ball is hit in the air to left. Back at the wall. It's a two-run game. Alan Craig goes deep here in the eighth.
Incredible game. Back and forth. Obviously we thought we had him a couple times, but...
Strike two, and now the Rangers are one strike away.
Swinging a long one in the right. Get up, baby! Get up! Get up! It's at the wall! It is off the wall! One run in. Here comes Burton. Over to third goes Freed. We're tied 7-7. And listen to this crowd. They have gone banana.
La, 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 la. One banana, two banana, three banana, four. No. You don't remember the theme song?
Give him credit, man. He had some great at-bats when he needed to, so we'll see him game 7.
It's just kind of like watching a tennis match. You know, one person would get one serve inning.
Oh,
there's a shot into right. Back at the track. At the wall. Hamilton has gone deep. And it's 9-7 Texas here in the 10th.
You know, it just goes back and forth. It was just an unbelievable game.
Strike two on Berkman, and again, the Cardinals are down to their last strike, and the Rangers are one strike away.
A swing and a base hit into center field. Here comes John Jay with a tying run. Pujols goes to third, representing the winning run. The Cardinals have done it again. My, oh my, I can't believe it. This is a heavyweight bout indeed. Punch after punch from the Rangers to the Cardinals. The Rangers to the Cardinals. 9-9 in the 10th.
In a battle of the beards, the great beard won.
The mood swings were just ridiculous. It was weird. You got all excited, and then here you're getting back quiet again, then you're getting excited. So it was very nerve-wracking, I'll just put it that way.
Swing and a high drive to center field. Get up, baby. Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah. David Freeze has just sent us into game number 7. This series is tied 3-3 with a walk-off home run here in the bottom of the 11th inning. The Cardinals win it 10-9. Unbelievable. Phenomenal. Just fantastic.
You got to give them credit. They fought. They fought tonight. They came back, and they won the ball game. That's all I had to tell them. We'll bounce back tomorrow. We've been in some tough situations before. We always responded, and I expect us to respond tomorrow.
I'll take things that are native to Texas at 3 p.m., Alex. Answer, who is Mike Reiner, Corby Davidson, and the Dark Cloud on the Hard Line? Listen every afternoon on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Oh,
this is it.
Are you being positive?
Game 7, man. We need it.
Really?
Yeah. Well, they Donovan have, this has is a must opinion. Win. Hold this on. Tonight is a must win.
Are you sure?
You Wait, heard it what? Here first.
Wait, what?
So,
man.
Okay.
No one's ever said it better.
A couple things here. With which stats are you interested in hearing regarding a Game 7? I know we're not quite ready to look ahead, but I have to, so we're going to go out of order maybe just a little bit here.
What, as far as percentage of teams on the road? Or
well,
what?
Okay. We first of all, let me
what
give
are you saying?
Let me give you that really great Ranger stat of what, 50 games now without consecutive losses?
End of August.
Which sounds really impressive, and I suppose the best conclusion to that story is that they have to prove it one more time, and if they do, they're world champions. That's kind of neat. Man, this consecutive loss thing, they actually will go through a World Series and through an entire playoff run and through the entire month of September and part of August without ever losing back-to-back games. The application, Dan, as Tom Grievous told us, this is a resilient bunch. They don't let one game grow into the next. It's over. They're done with it. It doesn't stick with them. It doesn't linger. They come back to the park and hope springs eternal the very next day. They always bounce back. Buy it?
After the fact, yeah.
Okay.
Like, if you are not going to believe some negative things, then you shouldn't believe that. Like, because the point is, if somebody says, oh, something negative possibly about this game, you would say, well, this game is different. This is not those games, you know?
Right.
Tonight is not has nothing to do, and it doesn't. It has absolutely nothing
well,
to do.
People argue
with the game
that
in August has zero to do with two nights.
And okay, how about
you have Matt Harrison on the hill, and everybody else is burnt out, and you have possibly a injured Nelly. You have
well, you got Siege.
You have questions on what are you going to do with? Are you playing Mike Young at first base? Because
yeah,
you
have no choice, right?
Yeah, but last night you yanked him from a tie game.
No, 7-4.
You didn't yank him till 7-4?
No,
I
it was a tie game.
No. You said you were going to yank him.
I thought
him.
It was 4-4.
You said you were going to yank him there, but you never actually yanked him until you came out in the bottom of the seventh up 7-4.
Okay,
well, right.
You're right.
Right.
Yeah, all right.
So we don't know if Wash was actually going to follow through or was he just grumbling to Maddux.
Okay.
The move wasn't actually made till the back-to-back home run.
Sure.
I was going to say, if you were going to pull him out of a tie game in the seventh inning, then why would you... Why have him in a tie game?
Yeah,
well, that's a great question. I doubt we'd get an honest answer from him, but I'd love to know if he still would have taken him out in the bottom of the
like
seventh.
If they didn't score?
Yeah.
Boy, I think he'd have to.
Do you?
Boy,
4-4 game, take Mike Young out?
Maybe he gives him another at bat.
At 7-4, I think it's just called smart. At 4-4, that's really intriguing. Okay, so the no consecutive loss thing. What's working?
I don't think it means much.
And honestly, I don't either. In fact, my dad is watching the World Series and calling me from Wisconsin when he gets done with games in the morning on his DVR because he has a pretty tried and true bedtime. He's not really a diehard Ranger.
When's he go to bed?
Oh, I don't know, 10:30.
Okay.
So he checked out about the 10th inning last night or whenever it was and watched it this morning and then had to call me. And I bounced that consecutive losses number off him, and he's like, yeah, that's not a real good number, Bob. That's not that impressive. I'm like, really? It's not? I think it's very impressive, Dad. Yeah, I don't know. I'm more worried about winning a game 7 on the road. And of course, that, we have years and years and decades of history in game 7s. I want to say this is like the 40th game 7 in World Series history. And I also want to say that no team has won a road game 7 since Kent Tekulve and the We Are Family, Omar Marino, Willie Stargell, Pittsburgh Pirates of 1979.
Like anyone can even know
since
that.
Since then, Dan, there have been 9 World Series game 7s, and 9 times the home team was victorious, including and starting with my Brew Crew. Losing to the Cardinals in 82, Game 6 and 7 at Busch Stadium, the old Busch Stadium. And they've had 9 World Series games since Kent Tekulve.
And you know what that means regarding tonight?
9-0. Nothing.
That's right.
It doesn't, but it's an interesting trend. Norm would certainly go nuts with a trend that powerful. That's
a big
one,
but you went
one,
back
right?
to what, 80? 70?
No, 1979 is the last time it happened. Actually, I think overall the home record is 28-11, maybe. So back in the 50s and 60s, it happened actually quite a bit.
You know, the parallel I thought about last night, you know, everyone talks about this run being parallel to the Mavericks run. I thought about the
that
stars.
That kind of ended yesterday.
Yeah, I thought about the Stars when they won the Cup.
Uh-huh.
And how if that game would have gone to a Game 7, there's no way Dallas would have won because of the Brett Hull injury.
There was
the McDonald
a strong
injury.
Feeling that they had to win that game.
It went
they were
extra time, and they had to get it done that night. And I was thinking the same thing about Texas. You know, if Nelly's out and Napoli, you don't know his status, and
when you
have
saw
pitches that are burned, you almost have to get that game because you just don't know what to expect of that Game 7.
Well, that might have been your thinking, but that takes us to this theory, at least held by some, and I know that's dangerous to say, Dan, but at some point did Wash play for Game 7? And the
where was he doing that?
The position in particular is when you decide, the pinch hit of Feldman for Herman was a very intriguing move, but then bringing on Lowe instead of CJ is the idea we save CJ for tomorrow night. Also, letting Nefty just go one inning seems to be geared on some level with we might need him tomorrow night.
He's not burned
instead
out.
Instead of
no,
going all
right.
in. So I don't know what you think about that. I feel if Ron is saying we got to win tonight or we're screwed, you definitely bring Nefty out in the 10th, don't you?
You should have.
Boy, if he's not thinking that, then
I don't know. If his mind was right. thinking about Game 7, then
right
I'd
there, then
seriously question
well,
what he was
well,
doing.
Let me ask you this. I'll give you Herman and Mark Lowe for Feldman in a trade. How do you feel?
Where did that happen?
Exactly. Top of 11, right?
Yeah, the 11th.
Yep.
Top of 11, two outs.
What? Explain it all
and
to me.
Napoli,
because Torrealba's on deck.
Was Napoli on first?
Napoli single.
Yes. Napoli's on first.
So you got a guy who.
So there's two outs, one on, two out.
And you got a station-to-station guy at first as well, so a double's not scoring.
Napoli gets on with one out. Cruz flies out, Napoli singles, then Murphy flies out.
Okay,
so now Feldman's spot is up in the order.
But, okay, so that means while Murphy was up, Torrealba is standing on deck.
As a decoy, apparently.
Okay, this is what I want you to explain to me, Diamond Talk, when I tell you the whole situation. So Torrealba on deck. Feldman, though, runs out to hit. Then he's called back, and Herman goes out. Why wasn't Herman just out on deck?
I don't know.
What's the...
Okay, how about this? How about why in the fifth inning when apparently Wash was trying to play a mind game with Tony and he has Torrey Albat on deck instead of Colby, why doesn't he just put Mitch Moreland out there as a left-handed bat because you had a right-handed bat or pitcher on the mound?
And why? Like, and is Torrey Albat a threat? Is somebody saying, oh my, Torrey Albat?
Oh, he's only a 1-for-29 pinch hitter in his career. I mean, yeah, he's a huge threat.
Torrey Albat? And then Herman, I can't think Herman has much better track record.
I would rather Feldman hit so he can go back out there
and
pitch.
Yes,
because Feldman can do exactly
if it's
going to
keep going, he can give you two or three more
Feldman
innings.
Feldman did exactly what Herman would have done.
This won't be seen as a compliment, so forgive me going in. But you just feel like in the National League parks when Wash is trying to play the National League game against these managers who have been there for a decade or more in this case, you think to yourself, it's kind of like that chick at the casino whose husband's whispering in her ear if she should hit or not hit on 16 at the blackjack table up against, you know? It's just, it really sounds like someone told him over lunch, you know, sometimes you can bluff the other manager with throwing someone out to the on-deck circle. And LaRusso's looking over there like, yeah, that's a good one, dude. All right.
Yeah, just leave him in because I'm not falling for it.
Right.
Because if you make that move, then I'll counter.
This is not my first banana in the tailpipe, dude.
You have absolutely showed me your cards.
Right.
And you said, okay, do something with this. Well, you're showing me the ace and the five. I know exactly what I'm going to do.
But it just didn't make sense even after it transpired. Like, oh, okay, he was doing that. Like, what was the point of Torrey Albat and not the guy who hit anyway?
But at that point in the game, you've already seen so much mismanagement, you just throw your hands up and you're like...
Well, yeah, you're just like,
whatever,
well,
dude.
Put it on
what
the
are
list.
You going to do now?
Put
Let's
it on
see.
The list.
The whole Colby thing was so fascinating to me. I can't believe how many games we saw in one game.
Seriously.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
You're talking about the fifth inning when he hit?
All the Colby... Everything.
Yeah.
Everything about Colby. Okay, first of all, that first bunt. Okay, now then the Colby thing was happening too. So let me see the situation. Mike Young had doubled. They're up 4-3, right? There's two on. There's first and third. There's a 3-1 count on David Murphy, and the camera's going on Colby, and the camera's going over on Torrey Albat. You know, like Torrey Alba's on deck as if he's going to go pinch hit. Should Murphy get on? There'd be bases loaded. It's 4-3. It's the fifth. You know,
you have a lead.
You've already wasted.
You have a little bit of a lead.
So many opportunities.
You have what, at least in theory, is
a lead.
What's
a lead?
What's the good thing about this pitching staff? Is it that they have dominant starters that can take you throw shutouts for nine innings?
No.
Or
yeah, but, you know, Colby
is what's the theory on this pitching staff? It's deep, and we have a good bullpen. Isn't this the point where you say, oh, okay, well, we send up a batter. Now, there's no guarantee that he gets a hit, of course, but it's the mindset. Now, also the mind game there. First of all, I'm thinking Colby is hoping that a little bit, he's winning in the game, is a little bit hoping that Murphy gets out so I can go back out and pitch.
So I can qualify for the win.
Well, then he goes out to hit. And I thought this, as I told you, I'm in a mode of, I'm supporting Ron Washington. So with each move, I'm seeing, how can I justify this? How can I explain it like he would? What, or in his mind, not like he would actually say.
Because at the time, Colby had 62 pitches, and he gave up two hits, and they came in the first inning.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And as those guys pointed out a million times, nothing went out of the infield.
Right.
Not even one of the outs, right?
No, and that's the argument. Since Berkman's home run, 16 consecutive hitters, and there wasn't one hit. That's
so
darn impressive.
Very, very much so. So now he does come back out to pitch, and I'm saying, all right, what's my mindset? What's my Wash thinking here? Okay, here's what he's thinking. I have shown confidence in my player because I am a player's manager who shows confidence in my guys to get it done. This is going to inspire Colby to ratchet it up even to another level, to lock in and to dominate. And to get me to seventh or eighth inning, I need a couple more innings out of him for sure. I can't have him pinch hit. I can't have him bat that, throw out that futility with the bases loaded, knowing I've just squandered three possible runs, and then take him out of the game in this inning. That, I mean, anything but that. Well, what happens? They take him out of the game that inning.
No, no, he delivered in the bottom.
He had a 1-2-3. Yeah.
They take him right out of the game, though, the next inning.
Yeah, he went 1-2-3 in the fifth.
Although, he still hadn't given up anything out to the outfield,
yeah, if
right?
Michael Young makes a play,
yes.
You know.
Yes.
Michael Young, no, don't say you know. Michael Young makes a play,
Michael
then
Young.
He gets out of that inning.
Michael Young's butchery at first base.
And it wasn't even necessary to even look to pretend to throw to second.
No, it wasn't.
Just step on the bag, man.
Yeah.
That's what every first baseman would have done. Every single one of them.
I feel really bad for Mike Young, but it is what it is, dude. You got to make these plays. You're so close. Don't tense up. If David Freese is going to drop a pop up because the moment's too big for him, which it obviously wasn't, the night would prove. Yeah, I think you say it's a young player on a big stage, but Mike, you got to do it, baby.
What's the saying? Outs are oxygen for a team.
Yeah, yeah. As I look at that moment,
errors are farts.
Yes,
they might be. As I look at that moment, the oddest thing I ever imagined in this World Series, which would be that their manager said it. They got to get Mike Young's butt off the diamond, and that's crazy. But that was the undoing on some level last night.
But now you got to.
How many undoings were there, though? You know,
it's tough to say.
One of the many undoings. I also wanted to highlight one point
Dan, we should say this again. They had 5 leads last night. 5.
Right.
Imagine that in a baseball game.
Or pick your spot.
Having 5 leads and losing.
Pick your spot. I thought, okay, yeah, Colby got through that 5th. So now in the 6th, I thought must see TV. And how many must-see moments are in this game? Everything, right? You have to watch everything. But Colby versus Pujols. The strikeout where Pujols correctly argued that...
Gosh, that umpire got him.
It was the exact same pitch.
Yeah, same play.
McCarver was good on the point that the umpire was twitching. He wanted to call the previous one a strike but didn't.
Right.
And Colby put it in the exact same...
It's the pinpoint.
Same pitch. Yeah. Cederstrom was terrible last night. And I don't like bitching about home plate umpires, but his strike zone was awful.
Well,
throughout the night. Yeah, and for both clubs, too.
Because at first it was really, really tight, and then all of a sudden, you know what, that outside corner, let's call that a strike.
How do we feel about Ogando right now?
I would not put him in this game if...
You can't.
I'd rather have Esteban Germán pitch tonight than Ogando.
I mean...
His head is done.
Does that help you with...
I mean, as great as he was throughout the
he's cooked.
Earlier series, he's been that bad now. I mean, walking in the run right away.
And to continue to put him in high leverage spots.
What are you doing then?
He needs a nice beginning of the inning, nobody on situation. Because he's proven that he can't do it right now.
So we'll see you in February.
Yeah,
okay, Bob, let me do this to you. You got a 1-run lead tonight, but Harrison has struggled. But he somehow held on to some 1-run lead. I don't know if it's 9-8 or 1-0. Okay, you're in the 6th. How are you getting through the rest of the game? What's your bullpen?
I got to go to Siege. I'm thinking.
So CJ is your first guy, no matter what.
You know what? This would be crazy.
Is he taking us to Mike Adams then to Feliz?
I have to tell you, I might roll Siege out to start the game tonight. I know you don't want to be reactionary to them starting Carpenter. But
well, you can't do that now.
No.
No, of course you can't now. Like I just said, it ain't going to happen, but that's what I would do. What I would do is before...
Is this the shortest leash you've ever seen in your life tonight?
For Matt Harrison?
Yeah.
He had a pretty short one on Saturday, but
when
did he get yanked Saturday?
He got yanked when Napoli fired the ball past the catcher on that play. You know, I mean, it really... Harrison wasn't doing horribly on Saturday night. His team let him down.
But, yeah, it's CJ first coming out. I think you can bring back Feldman. You could bring back Ogando, but
I'm not saying what
in.
You could do. I'm saying what do you feel confident in?
It's CJ.
There's no way you put Mark Lowe in under any scenario.
He could be
in the 18th inning, right?
I go Harrison, CJ. I check with Holland. As crazy as that sounds, the look in the eye of Colin last night makes me want to apologize for everything I've ever said because he looked so locked in and so ready to roll last night. Yeah. I was really proud of that kid. And beyond that,
you give Adams more than one inning because I think he threw three or four pitches last night.
Well, he's 20 pitches in the whole entire series, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that they have a whole lot of faith in Adams right now based on how they use him, it seems.
Yeah, why is that?
To me, that's my biggest second guess of why you don't bring him in immediately.
Why you didn't
Berkman.
Just start him?
Well, no, just, inning? Okay, I mean, the Holland, eighth. Okay, that's fine. You want to get the right-handed Berkman out, but as soon as he's out, go get Adams.
Yeah, no doubt.
Go get Adams,
because
if he takes care of his job like he normally does, you don't see the middle of the order in the ninth for the Cardinals.
And that's showing confidence in your players and what they've done and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
I feel like Wash has a little deference towards guys who were here last year, though. Don't you agree with that? Like, Adams, he's not quite sure about. He hasn't lived with Adams for a year. Maybe next year at this time, when they're in the seventh game of the World Series, he'd be more apt to go to Adams.
Are we really, really late?
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh.
What time is it?
Forgive us. We were having a really baseball conversation, and we were so late that I wondered, did we just come back from break?
Maybe we did.
I thought I was in a vortex. All right, well, it's 2:13. We'll go to the phones, and we'll keep talking about this thing and get you ready for tonight on The Ticket.
Broadcasting live from the Metro PCS mothership, this is Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. KTCK Dallas-Fort Worth, KTDK Sanger, KPLX HD2 Fort Worth. Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket means what we say. Baseball is a talking sport, and this is the only place to talk about Rangers, Cardinals, and the World Series.
We're headed to a Game 7. For the first time, the Metroplex is going to feel what it's like to sit through a Game 7 with a championship on the line.
It comes down to Game 7 for the Rangers.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
It's not that easy to win a world championship, as we found out tonight.
The Ranger bullpen that got him here fell apart last night and absolutely deserted him, including their stud, Neftali Feliz.
Instant knee-jerk reactions and hot sports opinions as the Rangers head into a deciding World Series Game 7. Brought to you by Jay Gilligan's, Majestic Fine Wine and Spirits, DriverSelect.com, Southwest Airlines, and only on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
Crude also on 99.5 HD2.
And now, Bob and Dan present another thing that sounds dirty, but probably wasn't intended to be.
You're going with your starter. Instead of having to go to the bullpen anyway here in the fifth. That's low, 3-1. There are the numbers for Lewis, 68 pitches. Here comes number 69.
Things that sound dirty but probably weren't intended to be. Exclusively on Bad Radio.
It's a spooky stick and puck matchup between the Stars and the Devils tomorrow night. Pre-game at 6:30, puck drops at 7. Brought to you by Structured Foundation Repairs, Q Chevrolet, Low T Center, Advent Air Conditioning, and also by American Airlines, Ford, and Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
Join your heroes, the Hardline, today at the Edwin Watts Golf Store. Close to the northwest corner of I-30 and Cooper on Lamar in Arlington, it's their much-anticipated sidewalk sale. Incredible savings, the best deals of the season on equipment, apparel, and much more. Demo the newest products from Callaway, Bridgestone, Adams, STX Putters, and Ashworth. While the Hardline is there, they'll have free barbecue from Cooper's Old Time Pit Barbecue at Edwin Watts Golf in Arlington.
I'm a little worried about Killer, dude.
Why? Is he rushing to the
restroom? I'm just worried about a lot of people. Restroom? There were so many people invested last night, and he's one of them. And we're surrounded by them that consider the Rangers and the possibility of the Rangers winning the World Series the greatest thing that could possibly happen in the sports world. And they got so close last night, and it can all go away with a good night tonight. But holy cow, you want to talk about a Herb Brooks stop, turn around and say, you're blank and grave situation. I mean, last night, and I started getting this feeling like in the third or fourth inning, that this is a blank and grave game. It's starting to happen that the Cardinals are trying to beat themselves. You're letting them off the hook. You got so many ducks on the pond. You got to get them in. They're dying for you to put them out of their misery. And if you don't win this tonight, you're going to take it to your blank and grave.
Because you just don't know.
You don't get
that
chances like this.
That might be the closest you will ever, ever get to winning a title.
No.
That might be it.
It could turn, and you have no, I mean, the best example earlier this year, the gigantic Portland comeback in Game 4, totally different sport, totally different circumstance. But I thought, you know what, they don't recover from that. They don't recover from blowing that 23-point lead in Portland, and they did recover, and they were fine, and they didn't even need a Game 7. They won Game 5 and 6, and it was over. But so you never I don't know what I believe about game-to-game momentum in all these sports, and uh, I, I, everything you know is wrong, and the Red Sox lost the Carlton Fisk World Series, and that's not brought up often enough after a dramatic Game 6 win. It's just, I believe anything.
Well, that game
people
means
say,
as much as Kirby Puckett winning in 91, and they went on to win, right? But I'm saying that means as much to the Rangers today as the Red Sox in 75 or whatever it was mean to the Rangers today. Zero.
Yeah.
I mean, you can bring up a situation for anything to say why this may or may not happen. All that matters is tonight. Now, do you have a feeling that tonight's going to be a good night?
I get your comedy. And while I do like thinking about Fergie when I think about the Rangers' chances to win the Game 7 tonight and her desire that I drink more Dr. Pepper, I will tell you that I have no feeling either way. I have no idea. I mean, I know on a sports talk show I'm supposed to guarantee, like William Wallace, a valiant victory, or I'm supposed to be in full defeatist mode.
What about you, Dan?
I don't have any idea. How could anyone possibly know after watching what you watched last night to pretend you have any idea what's going to happen next? Forget it. It's ridiculous.
It's completely cray.
I could have given you a chance to predict the outcome last night, like at 11 o'clock, and you wouldn't have had any idea, let alone at 7 o'clock before the game started.
I would have had an idea at 11.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Man,
See, Jack Buck
or
Joe.
When Josh hit that home run, the Rangers' chances of winning went up to about 98%. Then it's two outs and two strikes.
But then Darren Oliver walks to the mound and
but they had him where they wanted him with the
two outs, two strikes.
Well, they have a three-run lead and six outs?
Yeah.
And that means all you need is Mike Adams and Feliz. Done. That's the play. That's how it's drawn up.
That's the person.
That's the playbook.
Out of everything that happened last night, that's the one I'm disappointed in, Feliz, because out of all the Michael Young crap, out of all the stuff that went on, you had two outs.
Yeah, Michael Young's supposed to be a butcher at first. He was.
You had two outs,
Feliz,
two strikes, and your closer on the mound with a two-run lead. If I would have told you that yesterday.
And entered the game with the bases empty.
If I would have told you that yesterday, you would have said, give me that because that's a victory.
Entering the game with the bases empty is so useless with Feliz because he insists on putting the first one, if not the first two, promptly on, because that's the way he rolls.
Because he likes pressure?
But we all, I don't know. Maybe he just.
Apparently not.
Maybe he can't dial it up until that's what happens. But
pressure bust the pipe.
Of course, last night, he gets in there, strikes out Terrio. Okay, all good. Then Pujols doubles, and you're still like, okay, breathe. The only thing that matters is the guy at the plate walks Berkman. Okay, now the only thing that matters is the guy at first. And then they strikes out Alan Craig. Okay, two outs, two strikes, and a two-run lead, Dan. And Freeze triples.
Feliz.
It'd be impossible to have a completely brave face. Yeah, play Ben Crenshaw. He does have a great feeling about this. He is a big believer in fate.
But, hey, Feliz got that last out with a winning run on third. And I know that who cares at this point, but still,
but
you should have thrown him in the 10th.
I agree.
If you do believe in fate, and if you believe in nice stories and all that, and karma, well, the good story right now is on the St. Louis side, isn't it? Isn't that the storybook? I mean, they're at home. They've got David Freeze, the hometown kid. They've got potentially, and I got really worried last night when Buck is talking, who's the MVP? Although I shouldn't get worried. That's just, Buck has no effect on the outcome of the game.
Wait a minute. I thought what shirt I wear tonight has every effect on the game.
No, it's whether I sample porn or not.
And are the Musers at the stadium or not? Because when the Musers are there and we're not there to counterbalance it like we were in Miami or in Game 2 of the World Series, the Musers screw everything.
Well, they are winless, right?
They went to San Francisco. They went to New Jersey with the Stars. They they pretty much have followed up just about everything along
now,
the way.
Now, what is their bullpen going to look like tonight, St. Louis?
Gordo. Oh.
They burned a lot of arms out there last night also.
I want to say, too, when I was getting nervous when...
If Chris Carpenter, two hits you through seven, would you be that shocked?
How about when they're talking about Pujols' final at-bat as a Cardinal?
I know.
Yeah.
And then he got like seven more at-bat. he actually got two more, I think.
It's almost like he hits third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. He's always
looming.
Always up.
His presence, like if he might be next in the next inning, when you walk... If he's six or seven batters away, and you walk a guy, you're like, damn, now I get Pujols next inning. I mean, he's always in your mind.
That's why Michael Young.
A presence like that in your lineup
such
is.
Such a butcher on that one play.
One quick thought that Evan threw out there today that I do think is worth noting is the stat of the Rangers, and I don't know if what you think of this stat, Dan, so reject it if you want. Pitchers who face the Rangers a third or fourth time this season, so they're seeing Carpenter for the third time in a week.
Yeah.
Pitchers facing them for the third or fourth time are 7-15 with a 5.3 ERA, 7-15. Now, Carpenter is not your garden variety starter that you see a third or fourth time. He good. And that son of a gun is one of those guys who you fear feeds the bigger the game and the bigger the moment and the more he can start trash-talking the other bench. And
his face does not look like Matt Harrison's.
No, Chris
Matt
Carpenter.
Matt Harrison more reminds me of a, what's his name? Derek Holland.
Well,
you know, just that face.
They're interviewing him. In the clubhouse, and his eyes are just
wide-eyed,
big,
and saucers. I thought the same thing.
He never blinks.
When you talk about guys who have the persona, and we blow this out of proportion, but just when Schilling was on the hill in the playoffs, it was like he was willing to, or Clemens, they're willing to fight the other team if that's what it takes.
Yeah.
And that's such a confidence oozing mentality. And Chris Carpenter, man, he's notorious for getting
yelling at the other side
all the time. Like he
you
is,
want that though.
He's ready.
He's
to
a
fight.
Badass.
Hey boys,
lineup's out.
Yeah, you want him?
Yeah.
Oh, what do we got?
Donnie, go ahead. You have him right in front of you.
Yeah, Kinsler, Andrus, Hamilton, Young, Beltre, Cruz, Napoli, Murphy, Harrison.
All right, so they're all in.
No change.
They're all in.
All right, here's some audio. Ready? This was the first thing Bob texted me, is you got to catch this McCarver meltdown, and
I think
we were on the same wavelength, but I appreciate it anyway.
Sure.
Now it's Punto. Struck out his first time, 3-for-12 in this World Series. No RBIs. First year in a Cardinal uniform. Go ahead, run at second. Ball one up and away.
The Rangers did look a good... Never mind.
We'll get back to you. Here comes a 1-0. One ball, one strike.
They did look that gift horse in the mouth, didn't they?
I was wondering where you were going. Glad you brought it
home. I was too.
Glad you brought it home after the foul.
But an error causing a run in the top of the fourth, an error causing a run in the bottom of the fourth.
Now I got it. That's us, just to put a face with the phrase.
The hell?
You know, when he rallied and Joe Buck started making fun of him, I felt much better. As that's happening...
You're thinking of, I'm watching...
Did he either have a stroke or a heart attack right there? I mean, you wonder, at some point, right, some announcer is going to have major medical problems during a live broadcast.
Right, and we'll be there to play the audio for you.
Well, I'm just saying.
And laugh.
Probably not, if it's...
Well, you won't.
At the time, it seemed...
Square.
Well, you thought he had
Jeez,
a...
Groups,
he had a
you're
stroke
right, hot.
Right after that?
Keep shooting. Huh?
You're thinking, man, did he stroke out?
There's
nah,
really,
I just thought
I
he...
I mean, he giggled. He just got jumbled up
well,
with words.
Just to give up? Like he never completed his thought?
Yeah, I wouldn't...
No, well, he did complete it, though, if he just gave up forever.
30 seconds after of dead air or later,
you're
yeah.
Thud.
Well,
yeah,
all right, guys. Yeah, he should have done like, dead air, it's all right.
He should have done like George W. did and just came up with his own take on the phrase.
He had just a hint of failed laugh that sort of gave away where he was headed, but, man.
Yeah, he had failed laugh as if they're about to go ahead and put me in that home.
All right,
there's
so.
An old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
All right, so you want
to
hear...
Like, what if... Wouldn't it have been better if he had Joe Buck there to help him out of that mess?
Yes.
No, but just, like...
Where are we going here?
Like, I'm curious what will become of Michael Young as a Ranger heading into spring training next year and where they won't decide to play him. I'm also curious if we'll see Tim McCarver next October in the broadcast booth with Joe Buck. I wonder if Fox is getting close to perhaps finding a new voice for the World
Series. Maybe put the tarp over him and...
close his eyelids.
Yeah.
And then roll him up.
Index finger.
I think over the last couple...
Okay. This won't hurt long. Okay.
All right, so here's... You've heard this before in the series.
I think, I think Francona opened the door, by the way.
You've heard this before in the series, remember? When McCarver will just come up with some random stat, like he's got Tourette's. He'll just... Something that doesn't relate to the current situation at all. So here I think Buck is talking about Colby or something, and then he totally has a random stat out of nowhere, okay?
4-1 in his career during the postseason. Of 22 batters tonight, he's thrown a first pitch strike. Bounces one into Berkman.
In game 5, Albert Pujols was walked intentionally 3 times. Tonight, he's 0 for 3.
Like, Pujols had been up a couple minutes ago.
Right.
And perhaps he had just had that epiphany. And
do you think Joe Buck is still staring at him right now?
You see, Joe Buck has a classic.
Here is a 1-2 from Lewis.
Layout after each one of these. Like, remember the story where he was talking about Dave Duncan's
yeah.
wife, and then he came up with some random playoff stat that had nothing to do with anything?
The American League has a wild card. Groups, do you have the Tim McCarver from Family Guy?
Yeah, hold on. Okay. I think I do.
What do you do? Oh, okay. Here is... The final call.
Because that's all I could think of when you played that audio right there was that Family Guy scene.
Here's a long form of the final play. Okay.
The Rangers a strike away from winning it in both the 9th and 10th innings. 2 strikes on Freeze, 2 strikes on Berkman.
Let me stop it and fast forward 1 minute. 1 minute of them jumping around on the field.
Sure.
All that kind of stuff.
How did this happen?
Well, Freeze hit a home run.
I just thought that might be a drop someday.
By the way, McCarver is signed for Fox through 2013.
All right.
All right.
Yeah!
He could finish that out.
Sure. And then, of course, you may or may not know that whole what Joe Buck did right there. I'm sure he had it in his mind beforehand, if indeed. But you could never script a walk-off hit, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't think he had it said, I'm going to say this no matter what if the Cardinals end.
I think it fit.
But this, it certainly fit. He did an homage to his dad.
To his daddy.
In 1991, is this?
Yes.
Where Kirby Puckett had a walk-off home run.
Game 6.
End a game 6.
Here are the two back-to-back from the BigLead.com. They pieced this together this morning, so here it is.
Choked the ball. A hitter swings at the arm motion. Into deep left center for Mitchell. And we'll see you tomorrow night.
Is that McCarver?
I think so.
With him?
Freeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
That's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Joe Buck is good.
It is kind of sweet.
What'd you say, Groobs?
I've got Family Guy if you want
it. Oh, do you? Okay. Here's their Tim McCarver homage.
Well, I guess he couldn't be any worse than Tim McCarver is at sportscasting.
In my view, as good as the Yankees were in the first half of this game, that's how as bad they've been now.
How about that?
Wow.
Oh. There's
no, more. That's all it.
We'll play the rest.
All right. Now, if you're like me and you love possible meltdown television, then you've been on quite a ride throughout this World Series run with the Fox 4 pre- and post-game show.
For the championship. The
it's really
four.
Funny. It's kind of like you got Kathy Lee and who's the one she does? The,
Hoda.
Kathy Lee and Hoda, you know how their craziness goes on that NBC morning show, the Today Show, the last hour of it. Now you have Clarice Tinsley and Heather Hayes. And their initial reaction, it's just, you got to tune into the Fox 4 postgame, Bob.
It's, yeah, well, on happy nights I'm there.
Yeah, I couldn't last night.
On sad nights I grab my coat and head off into the cold evening walk.
You did not.
With a dart.
Well, here, okay, now they've done some postgame already and told us, don't worry, there's still a game 7. Don't worry. Don't you want Heather Hayes telling you not to worry? Come on. I mean, she did assure me that there's still a game 7.
I felt better.
And Clarice Tinsley assured me that Ron Washington sounded confident
She's
in
confident
his postgame press conference.
Matt Harrison can earn a lot of runs tonight.
Well, here, anyway, then they send it. If you think that's not worth anything, well, what about the patrons of a local bar immediately after the game? What are they thinking?
Why do they do that, Vince?
So here is a...
cliche.
This is a wonderful 2 minutes that I really think that you're going to thank me afterwards for playing.
Thank you. And Heather, you know, all over here in North Texas were ready for their victory parties tonight.
Ready for their victory parties so they'd get excited when things looked great and then down in the pits when they didn't look so good. So Peter Dowd has been with those fans all night in Uptown Dallas. Peter, what's the mood like? I can only imagine right now.
You know, what is there to say? Just extreme disappointment. I think at one point everyone here at the Nodding Donkey thought that the Rangers were about to clinch it, especially after Josh Hamilton hit that two-run homer in the 10th inning. Everyone here, they were up on chairs, they were high-fiving, people were taking shots. They thought this game was over. They were going to win their first World Series ever, but obviously it didn't turn out that way. A lot of disappointment. Just take a look. You can really just see it on everyone's faces, just elation to extreme disappointment after the Rangers lost. I saw a lot of folks storm out of the bar, a lot of folks express outrage at the Rangers, but there is still some hope, you know, that the team will come back tomorrow and clinch it. Fans say they still believe that the Rangers are going to pull through, but just to know that the team was only one strike away from winning the World Series is extremely depressing.
Sucks. Like, we had it in the bag twice, and it just doesn't make sense.
I mean, it's disappointing, but you know what? I won't lose hope. It's not over. We still have another game. A big game. And I think that in the end, we're going to clench it, and we're going to win.
I'm shocked, honestly. Yeah, it's like...
Do you feel a little better knowing that the Marlboro girl thinks that perhaps
there's like
she seems to have a lot to back up that statement too.
There's like another big game tomorrow night. Like
I think the Rangers will smoke
them. Bigger one.
And she has great
like
confidence. Though I want you to feel better knowing that she feels pretty positive. Okay.
I think that in the end we're going to clench it and we're going to win.
I'm shocked, honestly. Yeah, it's like they had it in the 8th.
Honestly, I'm shocked. And I know that you think I'm evading your question.
Right.
But to be honest...
Let me be honest with you.
This one stuns me. I know most people are probably pretty laid back about this situation. Me, I tend to take these things a little harder.
9th inning, and then it was like all to hell, for a better word. Yeah, so it wasn't what we were expecting. We're expecting the World Series clinch tonight.
Rangers fans I spoke with say tonight really should have been the night. They really believed that at one point the team was, in fact, going to win. And, you know,
wow.
Wrong. A lot of people are blaming certain players like David Fries. A lot of folks say it was just not meant to be tonight. They're actually excited this is going to go to a Game 7.
Okay.
Knowledgeable fans.
They're blaming
First
David
of all,
Fries?
They're blaming certain players. You know, like the guy that hit the game-winning home run? I kind of feel he had something to do with this
I
thing.
I blame you, sir.
And then
I say good day,
good
David Freese.
Good day to you, David Freese.
I'm calling good a bit of day a bluff on this young sports
you stole
reporter.
Busy yes lifting drink.
That
good
is a
day,
big bluff. Oh, they, you know
listen
what
here, a lot of
they're
fans,
excited it's a game
a lot of fans
seven
are kind of happy because
yeah
they get to see a game
it's
seven.
No more
you know
baseball.
More
yeah
baseball.
I mean, we have a chance to lose the World Series. How great is
yeah
that?
Yeah.
Blaming
yeah
certain players like David Freese. A lot of folks say it was just not meant to be tonight. They're actually excited this is going to go to a game seven.
More beer.
No one is actually excited.
I've never heard.
There is no one that says, hey, this is great.
More beer.
Because we couldn't have drank beer had there not been a Game 7.
Don't worry about it.
Just not meant to be tonight. They're actually excited this is going to go to a Game 7. But, you know, obviously hearts are heavy here tonight. And everyone hoping
as they're all doing shots
prove victorious tomorrow. Reporting live in Uptown, Peter Dowd, Fox 4 News.
All right, Peter, thank you. That's right. You know what? There is a Game 7, like they said at the end of the broadcast of the game. You know, we'll see you tomorrow. We'll be back right there at 7:05.
It will be epic, and we heard Ron Washington earlier. He's got confidence.
So get
oh
back.
Oh, my God.
So get back to the nodding donkey for your report tomorrow night, because there's
oh
a
yeah
Game 7.
The right hearts are heavy. Somebody's on the bar pelvic thrusting with two bottles just pouring the liquor right in their mouth.
Dumping shots over the head.
Everything's blurred out because everybody's topless.
So heavy.
Do you feel this is
it's
a journalistic necessity,
you know, all
to
I
go
could
check in with the local watering
of
hole? Or?
When I was in Honduras, I tuned in the show and Mark Followell was doing play-by-play of a normal street corner on a normal afternoon.
Uh-huh.
And just talking about how this car is laboring to head up this hill. Just talking about how after Cardinals runs, the crowd here was really disappointed.
Right,
but after
okay
Rangers runs,
okay,
the crowd here was really happy.
Oh, yeah, all right.
They had one after they clinched up against the Detroit. You know, there was more noise here than there could have been at the ballpark. Like, really?
Some of the
50,
conclusions.
People.
I've only done a few of these reports, but some of my conclusions seem to be based on when the Rangers do good, everyone here is really happy.
Interesting.
And
wow
on nights the Rangers lose, they're a little more disappointed.
Clear.
Subdued, if you will.
You know, it's
for
clear
the
that
championship,
you
I'm.
It's clear that you you went to school for this kind of thing.
Okay.
To uncover these stories. All right, it is 2:53 from Savoy on the ticket.
This thing is going all seven.
Nobody expected that when Texas was up 7-4, we would be heading to a game seven.
Sports Radio 1310, the ticket means what we say. Baseball is a talking sport, and this is the only place to talk about Rangers, Cardinals, and the World Series.
I understand that it's not over until you get that last out, and I was just sitting there praying that we get that last out.
When that triple went off the wall by Freeze, I thought, no, this can't be happening.
One strike away from a world championship twice.
A strike away, twice, and they couldn't get her done.
Instant knee-jerk reactions and hot sports opinions as the Rangers head into a deciding World Series Game 7. Brought to you by Jay Gilligan's, Big Daddy's Liquor Stores, DriverSelect.com, Southwest Airlines, and only on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Crude also on 99.5 HD2.